And the video I wanted for later, that's Jurgen Klopp dancing.
I'm not going to get a hat now as well.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good welcome one and all, and welcome back to the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast. Liverpool are champions of absolutely everything. We won everything. The game's over. You can all go home. We won. Not important. I just thought I'd mention it. We are back doing the Doctor Who directionless commentary. I will at some point actually learn to say that without stumbling. We're possibly playing with some new tech this evening, so keep an eye out on what you young folks call the socials. For possible links to stuff. That's all I can say about that at this point. I will have to hand over to our tech department for further explanations. Speaking of whom, we have over there in the Scottish corner the lovely, lovely behatted and be-eared, slightly blurred Morgan.
Hello.
Are you blurred?
Well, it depends where she sits. And sitting next to her, not blurred, but forever crashing the theme tune, it's John.
Hello.
And over in the other window, in a new hat, it's Laura.
Hi.
So we are back. We are talking about, I believe it's Utopia this evening, isn't it?
It is.
Excellent. Right, that's that one done then. Did I mention that Liverpool won all the things? Have we covered that
Liverpool,
bit?
Liverpool haven't won everything.
Oh, bloody hell.
Liverpool never won Best Show at Morecambe Comedy Festival.
No.
And I may say that that's the only thing I have.
Although there was a period in the mid-90s when the back four qualified. John, that's a footballing reference.
I know, I have no idea. I was going to ask Morgan.
I love Morgan's hat way over her glasses there. That's absolutely brilliant.
She won't be able to see the episode, but she looks awesome.
How have you guys been anyway? How are things?
Since Tuesday.
Since Tuesday.
I've done absolutely. Sorry. I've started walking again. I've had to start walking again.
You'd lost the ability.
I've somehow put on all the weight that I lost in the previous 6 months of walking. In the past 3 months.
Well,
which bear in mind, I've not done anything like. Even like eating or anything important like that, I've suddenly started putting weight back on, which is a good thing. It means I'm not dying.
True.
But yeah, I've started going out and walking again. That's the excitement of my life.
We actually went out for a walk yesterday evening. I picked her up from the shop, and she said, "Oh, let's go for a walk out by the Broads and stuff." And we hadn't been out there for a while, and certainly not since all the everything happened. And so we just went for the first car park we knew of, and it was all closed off. So we just parked on the side of the road, walked back to the closed off car park, finally scrambled over a 5-bar gate. It's two adults, neither in the peak of health and fitness, waiting till somebody else had disappeared so they wouldn't see us stumbling over a 5-bar gate. Fell off it, both of us. And then started walking around the Broads, and 2 minutes further up, we discovered there was the bigger car park, which was open. Hey ho!
The gates, though, they're usually open.
Well, because we hit the first car park and it was closed, we just assumed all car parks were closed because that's how the world works. If you find evidence of one thing, everything is that one thing.
That's true. That's pretty much everybody watching YouTube and. Deciding that the one video that they've watched is correct.
Exactly. This is modern logic and modern thinking.
Mm.
So, you know, we just looked at that and went, well, that car park's closed, they all must be, and didn't move.
Morgan has...
We're all exciting so far.
Funny enough, Rachel said that was the most fun she'd had in 3 months, and I won't deny I was slightly hurt by that.
Slightly hurt, but you had to concede that it was true.
Oh yeah, but yeah. It was the truth that hurt, man. I mean,
Morgan is like you can't see this, but she's like she's actually her hands are shaking here because she's trying to attract my attention because she drew something that she wants to show you both.
Oh dear, go on then, go on.
Not quite finished yet.
It's not finished. It's a work in progress.
It takes a lot of effort.
bit further away. Like, your hand is really in focus. That isn't. What is it?
It's a TARDIS.
Oh, it is wow. A TARDIS.
Unfortunately, it's being affected by the blurry background.
I don't know why the background's blurry.
Just if you put it in front of your face, it should work. Like literally touching your face. Hey!
Perfect.
See?
Oh man, that's so good. That is excellent. That is fantastic.
What's the Bates model for that one?
So why is that blurry?
That's not important. Oh, good, there's your window.
I want to know which TARDIS that she's based it on, because we're talking. Part of the reason for doing this, surely, is to work out, you know, what kids enjoyed and adopted to.
John, you've deburred your background, but you've made the sound quality terrible. Well done. Excellent. That's the work. Yes.
Morgan. Yeah? Which Doctor's TARDIS is it? I'm interested.
The fire one. Oh, sorry.
Fire Doctor. Okay.
That'd be the coolest Doctor.
It's the one that eats fish fingers and crystals.
Oh, Matt Smith.
It's Matt Smith.
Doesn't know names. See, because it's got that kind of, because it's got the kind of cogs and stuff around it, and the time I assumed it was going to be Capaldi's.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. That's Salvador Dali as the Doctor. It's absolutely amazing.
Salvador Dali.
Damn, John got a better joke out of it. Bugger.
We had a conversation about Timmy Mallett being the Dalek this morning.
Oh.
I mean,
yes, I was gonna somehow subtly shoehorn that in. I actually really like this idea that you've got the War Doctor, who's the one they're all quietly ashamed of, but he had to do a thing. And then you've got the Wacky Doctor, who they're all ashamed of because, well, look at him.
He's Timmy Mallett.
Baby glasses.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of Timmy Mallett being a chameleon arch doctor who had to find a job. And because he was the Wacky Doctor, he managed to find himself a job with ITV on breakfast telly for over a decade. Pick Michaela Strachan as his assistant. She doesn't know what's going on.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Basically, I just really like Whackaday of the Doctor as a title.
I do. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, if nothing else, you can have that as a Doctor Who episode where kind of reminiscent to a certain episode from the Eccleston year, the Doctor turns up and it's a TV studio, or it's a thing that's been taken over by the Whackadays.
That's true. Just kind of, he's the big brother. Yeah.
Everyone is running around singing, "She wore a itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot." How can I still remember that song? Thanks for joining in, boys. You know,
that may have been one of the first tapes I ever bought, like 1991.
No.
Oh. I was 10 years old. Don't judge me for my musical taste.
Tapes are now to Morgan. What is this thing you call a tape, Dad?
What's just said magic? I know what a tape is.
I'm slightly concerned, actually, that... Partly concerned that you were 10 in 1991. That alarms me enormously, just because, well, people should never be younger than me. But if you got that as a cassette single in 1991...
Yeah.
I think I got the Jungle Book rap on cassette single at around the same time.
Okay.
Glossing over the fact I wasn't 10.
Good point.
I might possibly have been at sixth form at the time.
I mean, I was going to say, I mean, my earliest musical memories from like novelty songs, I don't remember Doctor in the TARDIS. I don't remember it.
Okay.
Until much later, yeah. For a Doctor, I don't remember it, but I know that the first record I ever actually owned, I think, was for my fourth birthday, which was the Frog Chorus.
Oh dear,
the Frog Chorus is an utter classic.
It's an utter something.
It was the best thing that McCartney had done in a decade.
Again, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that statement. Bom, bom, bom.
Bom,
bom, bom, bom. I mean, it's just it's interesting that that's yours, because I very early on in my life, owned, and I still have it somewhere, a copy of Silver Dream Machine on 7-inch vinyl. Hey, get me being all cool. Certainly at primary school, and I tried to get it played at school discos because it's the only song I could vaguely rhythmically move to, was Goody Two Shoes.
Oh, God.
On 7-inch vinyl. But by then, I already owned Kings of the Wild Frontier and Prince Charming on vinyl.
I can't remember if it was Prince Charming, which was number one when I was there the day I was born, or whether it was Stand and Deliver. It's one of the two. Just a bit of trivia, just again to point out, I'm a lot younger than you.
Did nobody have Star Trek in by the firm?
No. No. I loved Star Trek in. That was like my second favourite novelty song of the 80s, but that's only because for whatever reason, it wasn't the chart show or anything, but on ITV, after like the shutdown overnight, and this is before like 24-hour broadcasting, ITV had like a 3-hour closed window, and then they did that like night screen thing.
Yeah.
Like 5 and 6.
Yep.
Before that, they showed music videos, and I remember about, was it 1987 Star Trek? And I think it was.
If you say so.
I remember being in my brother's bedroom because he'd gone off for a week and I got to stay in his bedroom. There's a TV in there. And I used to wake up every single morning at 4 o'clock just to watch the Star Trek video. I was like 5 or 6 years old.
The scary thing is, that's exactly what you do now.
Why do you think I was up at 5 o'clock this morning?
It's good to know it's still on television. I mean, my musical memories of 1987 are Whitesnake, Def Leppard, The Sisters of Mercy, The Mission, and discovering Deep Purple and Jethro Tull. I don't remember Star Trekking other than it vaguely being on. But the first novelty song I can actually remember, and thank God I never actually owned it, was the Birdie song, which I think was very early 80s. I think it was 82, 84. But because I grew up in a town called Harwich in Essex, which, as the joke goes, if you've never been there, don't. It's like Lowestoft without the old world charm. I like that Morgan got that. Well done.
No, I'll tell you she's laughing at in a minute.
Okay, but genuinely, at every single wedding or party you went to in Harwich, from the day that song came out onwards, right up until when I moved away in 87, 88, it got played. So at every single birthday, at every single wedding, this shitty song always got played, and the whole town knew the fucking dance move. I forget why I moved. Anyway. What?
Morgan's dying in the corner. She says she can't breathe. What happened was when you said the birthday song, I did, and she said, Batman! And then she's dying.
That's another mashup we need.
Are you okay?
That's fantastic.
It's going to regenerate in a minute. I'm getting Scotland.
should we have a crack at watching an episode of Doctor Who to try and get some Morgan can breathe again?
Have we reached the point where this is our longest intro ever yet?
Probably not.
I need to go in intensive care to get my lungs.
In terms of being recorded, no, because we're only on 20 minutes.
Awesome.
Which isn't bad for us. And that's the point that John pisses off out of the room.
Well, I'm going to quickly nip out as well.
Hello, Morgan.
Hello,
it's just us.
Definitely more funny.
You are the funniest person on this show. You do know that, don't you?
Yes.
Good. That's all right then. What are you eating? What are you eating, by the way?
A homemade muffin.
Ooh.
All right. If this was live, we could, if we were all together, she could have made enough for everyone.
Yeah, but you didn't, did you? You didn't bring enough for the class, did you? Eh?
Amazing muffins. They're actually really delicious.
They are very nice.
Are they vegan muffins?
What's in it that's not vegan?
Almost everything.
But apart from that, what's not vegan about your pork muffins?
Nah, that all sounds fine to me. Yeah, all sounds good.
What's not vegan in this? Almost everything.
I don't have a recipe for vegan muffins.
Ooh.
So, well, you just need to sort that out for their life.
Vegan muffin, vegan cakes are the best thing ever. It was actually cakes that helped me go vegan because my girlfriend only ever made vegan cake. And she made a blueberry and lemon drizzle cake. And it was the best cake I'd ever had.
Oh, that's just...
I thought, well, you know what? If I can have cake, I'm in.
Have your cake and eat it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure, you know, the animals and everything all very lovely and blah, blah, and they didn't get hurt. And you know, but cake, you know, come on.
Did you go straight to vegan from a meat eater or were you a vegetarian?
I was kind of sort of partly vegetarian in the middle, but I pretty much just went straight because I tend to do things in extreme.
Just kind of hardcore.
Yeah, I don't have a middle ground. I either do everything or nothing. So I just went, you know what, if I'm going to do it, I'll just chuck everything out and start again. And that's what I did. And it's been absolutely fine.
Cool.
In the same way that I didn't decide to buy one Dio album on a whim of nostalgia, I bought a 5-CD box set. 5 Dio albums. Anyway, right, so we are watching... I've already forgotten and it's gone off my screen.
Utopia.
Thank you.
Utopia.
In which, according to my little preview thingy, Captain Jack Harkness storms back into the Doctor's life.
I'm not going to see what ours says because I want to read what I found.
Go on then.
I've been back on the Digital Spy forums.
Oh dear.
You want to do it now? The episode?
Huh?
Are you doing it now or at the end of the episode?
I'm going to do it now because for this one because it's a guy called Dojin from the 12th of June 2007, so he's probably dead by now, but that's fine. This is like we have a toxic fan base now, don't we? But this is the headline. This is his header for this. Doctor Who Utopia slated by the Radio Times preview.
Okay.
Describes it as a clunker and a pudding, seemingly created for its climax alone. Are these the first words of dissent from one of the programme's greatest fans?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I will point out right there that he spelt dissent as descent, as in falling. And then at the end, Russell C. Davis takes note, you cannot get away with drivel and gloss. So that's what we're going to have. Drivel and gloss.
45 minutes of drivel and gloss.
Drivel and gloss.
I'm sure they were a double act in the 80s. I'm sure they had a novelty single out called Captain Jack. just as they're about to press play, Morgan wanders off.
Yeah, where are you off to? We're never going to, let's just face it, we're not going to see this drivelling gloss.
we need drivelling gloss in our lives.
Okay. But Morgan says we can start without her because she thinks it's drivel anyway.
Oh, okay, she's not too concerned about the drivel and gloss.
She's going to get, exactly. She's going to get something to drink because her cakes are obviously too dry.
Oh, you see, go for vegan cakes, mate. Much better. Are we, do you want to mention the technical stuff or are you not too troubled about the technical? Are we just trialing technical stuff?
No, we're just trialing still.
Right, you are.
And it's going to work, so.
Yeah. If it ever works. Dear listener, it'll be amazing, but not.
I'm aiming. We'll do one bit of technical stuff. I'm aiming for not the next episode because if we're still going for the two-parter on Wednesday, then I don't want to do one that long. But for Khan's special Christmas Kylie Minogue special, I'm hoping that we'll be going out live on Twitch. So,
if we are, then obviously we'll all have to dress appropriately in French maid's outfits.
Oh yeah, totally.
That's okay. I'm in.
I would like to just make Morgan exempt from that. If
that's very, very, very fair and reasonable.
I'll be there with bells on, which isn't part of the original ensemble.
Just stick her in red face for one of the characters. That'll be fine.
while we're still allowed. Red lights matter.
Oh dear. Oh, very, very quickly before we begin. the racist landlord of now fairly wide renown.
Oh yeah.
He posted something else. I can't remember what it was. It was dull and tedious. And I again asked the question: why is he so annoyed by the Black Lives Movement Matter movement? And his response was, "Oh, here you go again, moaning and posting the same old drivel." To which I politely replied that a man who has posted endlessly for the last 3 weeks about how much he doesn't like Black Lives Matter should be careful in how he bandies around the phrase "same old drivel." That was 6 hours ago, and he still hasn't responded.
Was it drivel or was it drivel and gloss?
It wasn't drivel and gloss, because that's the good shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
On that note, are we ready for 46 minutes, it says here, of prime drivel and gloss?
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, then, in that case, as ever, dear listener, when we press play, you press play, and we will talk you through the drivel and gloss that is Utopia. 3, 2, 1, and play.
Could be TARDIS landing there.
We've all been there, haven't we?
We have.
We all been to Cardiff Bay.
Have we been to the Yanto Jones Memorial?
The what?
Is there a Yanto Jones Memorial?
There's a Yanto Jones Memorial in Cardiff.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Homemade. Homemade.
Know that.
I imagine it would be homemade.
Imagine that, Cardiff City Council paid billions.
I'm sure that there have been crowds of people with tight white t-shirts and shaved heads who've gone to protect that memorial over the course of the past.
Hey, Yanto once said something a bit iffy about someone, so we're coming for that one next. Ooh. A lovely flying leap by the captain.
Yeah, would you like some IMDb trivia about that leap?
I give it a 7.4, but yes, definitely.
It's one of those where somebody has just come up with the most inane trivia. Apparently, it was done and filmed on his birthday.
Wow. And
somebody needed to go onto IMDb to put that down. So,
it looked like a birthday leap. I think we can agree that.
It was a birthday leap. You can tell the difference.
And you have to say that was clinging onto the TARDIS, presumably on his birthday, was horrendously done. And while we've got the opening credits, and we're talking about things people have posted on the internet, I can't remember if this was before the theme tune or after the theme tune. We were talking about The Thing. And I wanted to go and get the exact quote of the bit where the guy says, "I know you've had a lot to do, but if you get a moment, I don't want to spend the rest of winter tied to this fucking couch," which is one of the best lines in the film. And I went looking for that quote to make sure I got it right. And the website I found said The Thing, but somehow managed to then, someone had taken the time to give a fairly detailed description about The Thing starring Max Sydow, and already I'm thinking, what? About the Stephen King novel, hello, what? They've actually given a very, very detailed précis of Needful Things. On a piece of blurb about The Thing. Brilliant. I absolutely love that.
Go back to the theme tune for a second. Oh. Would it have killed them to have had a bit of CGI with Jack holding on to the TARDIS during the beginning sequence?
Yeah, it would. That would have been superb.
Yeah. With the screaming?
Yes.
Yep.
Totally.
Auto-tuned to the theme.
Yeah.
That would have been absolutely fantastic. Big Finish, if you're listening.
Big Finish, are listening.
Yeah, they're into everything.
Yeah.
I can't... This... Yeah, I've got my timeline right. This is after Frasier. I can't take him seriously anymore since the episode of Frasier.
Yeah, I know, but you for a second there, you made it sound like the series are somehow linked.
Well, they are. Because having been a famous actor in Seattle, from a sci-fi show, he now finds himself in the future. It's all linked. It's all part of the same universe.
Are we allowed to do spoilers about Derek Jacobi here, or will we hold off?
I think we're okay doing spoilers.
Okay.
I doubt there's anybody watching this alongside us for the first time.
He's not dead, is he?
No, he's not dead. Spoiler alert, he won't be doing any more. No, he's still alive. Derek Jacobi has a big finish range.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
There we go. So there's a big finish range with Derek Jacobi as his character.
Oh, man.
If you ever go on any forums, people kind of go, but how could he be in this with Paul McGann? Paul McGann, you know, if Paul McGann knows he's such and such, blah, 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 then David Tennant should have known.
So Derek Jacobi, the actor, is dining out on a character he played in a sci-fi show because his career is somewhat stalled. Do I need to draw you a map, Laura? It's all the same thing.
I mean, it's all well and good until Kirby appears as a master at the end of the episode. So.
Doctor, I shall take you for a burger or some such. Yeah, it's not going to go well, is it?
Have we ever seen the YouTube clip? I'll talk about it later on. The YouTube clip about the end of this episode?
No.
The two girls in Ireland. Basically, they're being filmed watching this episode for the first time. Have you seen it?
No.
Quite possibly. I watch a lot of reactions. I'll
talk about it when we get to the bit because it's absolutely brilliant. But just remind me. It's just wonderful. And I'll probably send you the link to it as well because it's one of the best kind of reaction videos you'll ever see.
Yeah, if you say so. I'll probably forget to ask.
I won't. I like my reaction videos.
Can I just point out at this point...
It's disproportionate to what's happening.
They're the best ones. I'm currently being given a load of verbal abuse by the cat. He's now decided this is the point where he either wants food, a door open, or a tap putting on. No one else can do this. It's me. It's only me. He's staring at me. He only wants me. The little shit. Oh, no. Somebody else has moved in the kitchen. That'll do. Good. He's gone away. Very briefly, going back to the makeup and stuff at the start of this with the locals. Mm. As we were talking about Dog Soldiers earlier, have either of you two seen Doomsday?
Yes. I've seen Doomsday. I was part of Doomsday. It was filmed. You know, I wasn't actually in it. It's just.
Is this another one of your famous I was part of a film stories where you were in the background because you were walking past with your shopping?
Absolutely. But it's filmed. It's filmed in Glasgow. There's parts filmed in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's Queen Street train station. Yes. It's quite prominent in it, which is beside where they filmed the Pittsburgh scenes for World War Z. There you go.
I don't remember World War Z well enough because it was terrible.
World War Z, the beginning of World War Z was filmed in Glasgow just so they could see zombie makeup.
That's where they got the idea of the zombies from.
Which kind of explains why they got Capaldi.
That Capaldi already knew that he had the part then and they played World Health Organization doctor because Peter Capaldi is who doctor?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you haven't seen Doomsday, Laura, get it watched because it's absolutely batshit brilliant.
Yeah, as
it's I forget the director's name now. He did Descent, Dog Soldiers, and then Doomsday.
Yeah,
Neil Marshall, I think.
Neil something, isn't it?
Yeah, Neil Marshall, I think. And it's the maddest of the three, and it's hello, some bad CGI. Haven't seen that for a while. And I love them. How does he get better lighting than Frida? They've both got better lighting than she has.
Maybe he just needs it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Given at this point, John Barrowman 40, 10 and 36 and frame regimen, mid-20s. Yeah.
What's they need the light. And what's wrong with being 40?
You need more light.
You need more light.
I would think I need less.
Yeah.
Or fewer.
I think flattering light or no light at all.
I prefer no light at all.
I'm actually surprised you've actually closed the curtains behind you for once.
Yeah, well, that's mainly because somebody was outside doing the gardening because the neighbours have been mildly looking at us because nothing's been trimmed for a while, and I thought the dogs would be leaping about if they saw a human being.
You're in the same weird spot where you are staying at home so long that it gets to this time of night and you automatically assume that it's dark outside because that's the exact assumption I had, that behind Khan is just nothing. There's no light out there at all, but I know for a fact that obviously it's, what, 8 o'clock and it's going to be really bright.
Well, to be fair, it's Norfolk, so there's nothing really out there.
we are facing a window, so I know exactly what it's like outside.
Yeah, no one likes to show off.
We've got blackout curtains, so there's never any light in the flat. So.
Oh, lovely. That sounds beautiful. I could happily go for that. I mean, John's the only person in Glasgow with a window, and he has to keep banging on about it.
Well, to be honest, everybody in Glasgow shares the window. I just happen to have it tonight. I've got to pass it on to the McGee's next door.
If I had these curtains open, it would be like MTV back in the late 90s, where they had like the big crowd of people outside their London studio,
They
were filming, like all outside. It'd be like that outside there with kids. So,
yeah, keep the curtains shut.
Obviously, this isn't very good for the kind of audio medium, but this is
outside.
We see a lovely park.
No, Glasgow's in a different time zone, isn't it? So
that's very true. And also, yeah. I'm not sure he lives in Glasgow because that was a tree.
Glasgow means dear green place.
Yeah, it's named ironically, though.
I think it was named by Celtic supporter.
Green weed.
I mean, I remember driving through Glasgow to get out to Loch Lomond and I didn't see a tree until I hit Balloch.
Never mind the balance.
Oh, hello. We've now gone full on doomsday.
Yeah, I think it's worth pointing that this episode takes a while to get it going.
It really does, doesn't it? And in fact, I'm still not sure it's there. Tennant, get your hand out of your pocket. There's still no much more.
Why does he walk like that with one hand in the pocket?
I'm assuming he's trying to keep his change quiet.
Some kind of Alanis Morissette.
I also like the fact that all the budget went on her makeup and no one else's.
It was
the same for in Turn Left, though, wasn't it?
Do what?
It was the same in Turn Left. It's the same actress in Turn Left.
Is it?
Yang Chong.
Ah, yes.
Woman in the tent.
Yes.
Same. It's like 12 episodes away and she sounds identical. Well, apart from she doesn't put Xantho on every sentence.
Because I briefly got her confused with the aliens who feature later on in the Matt Smith or Peter Capaldi period. The short blonde actress, but I've got the aliens confused, so ignore me, I'll go back to sleep.
What are you thinking?
Hmm?
Yeah. Which alien are you thinking?
The green one. The spiky face.
That's the end of Tennant.
That's Tennant.
Is that a Tennant alien?
That's the end of Tennant.
Okay. I remember the alien. That's quite a bonus.
The red one that we mentioned earlier on that's featured in the Kylie Minogue episode.
Maybe she's green. Can't be the red one.
I know. It's a joke in the end of time. You have the red alien with the spiky head in Voyage of the Damned, and then their green cousins in the end of time.
That makes some vague sense.
Vinny Bitchy, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. What? Oh, that's just a human being returning to a human being. While Tennant does a thing with a sonic screwdriver in the background.
You forget that Jack flops with everything.
Yeah, that's very true.
They can go quite as far with it as they do in Torchwood.
Yes. Although there's a bit in Torchwood as well where it's John Hart, I think he's called, and it's played by James Marsters, who's Spike and Buffy.
Yes.
And he sees a poodle and is quite attracted to it.
Yeah, I've forgotten that James Marsters turns up in Torchwood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see, it's all connected, Laura. It's all part of the same thing.
Mm.
You have Derek Jacobi moving from Seattle to whichever planet he's on now. You have Spike suddenly turning up in Cardiff. It's all part of the same universe. I really hope that wasn't a prosthetic and she had actually done that to her teeth.
Really? Very, very niche roles she gets now.
She's waiting for the third Buffy reboot.
Absolutely. It's like the guy that played Sloth in the Goonies. He's still waiting for a phone call. Just like one day out of another film role.
He's dead, isn't he?
Yeah, he's dead.
But he's still waiting for the call.
I feel like taking that into the conversation might have ruined the dynamic of the joke, but
but
he's not waiting by the phone.
He is. He's a professional. He's not letting death get in the way of his career. The phone is still on.
I know so many people that have died on stage.
To be fair, you gave it a good crack yourself a couple of times.
Yeah, I know. I'm willing to try it again.
Can you not?
I actually made the joke in the hospital. Was it last week? I'm already losing track of it, but the week before, I was in the hospital and I actually said to them, the stuff I will do for a day off right now. It's literally been the first day that I'd actually not worked since the whole lockdown started.
Christ.
I know. Obviously, some days were shorter than others, but...
Yeah.
And even then, I was in for about 3 hours before I deigned to go to the hospital.
We just talked over this. Why is he calling back to his hand? Why? I missed that, because my volume's lower than yours.
Martha picks up the hand going, oh, what's this? And then you have the flashback, because obviously it may be or may not be quite important later on in the episode. So it's quite important that Martha picks it out.
Gotcha.
Chekhov's hand.
If you're gonna mention the hand in the first scene.
Yeah. It's because Jack had it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Obviously you don't know at that point, but Jack's got it throughout the whole of Torchwood season one.
How'd he get it?
Torchwood stumbled upon it.
He stumbled upon it.
I think the Torchwood Institute got it after it got cut off by the Sycorax.
Yeah, but it fell off into the void, into the abyss, into the ether. So how does it end up in Cardiff?
Yeah, falls down. If something falls that far, it goes splat.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm no scientist, but if you
drop... Time Lord regeneration energy.
If you drop a squishy peach...
The hand should have regenerated on its own and be a different hand.
A different Time Lord.
Yeah, something about it would feel like someone else doing it. I'm not saying that.
David Tennant's doctor outed as a pervert.
It's like somebody else playing with my sonic screwdriver.
it's like you just see there's a deleted scene of this where you just see David saying, I can't wait to get you back to the TARDIS. I don't know why I became more Scottish when I said that.
You became very Scottish at that point. It's given the fact that you were born in the home counties, it's quite weird. I do think I should have possibly taken off an awful lot of the gig alerts off my Google Calendar, because I keep being reminded of the fact I'm not working.
It's supposed to be. I know, it's really frustrating.
Although, to be fair, I haven't had a bad gig in 3 months.
Apart from that one.
That's dedication.
Yeah, I've had a bad gig, April 1st, I remember it well.
You always remember the bad ones, don't you? It's a weird thing. You
never I remember it because I know that the first 2 minutes was fine, but then my internet connection decided to go awry and nobody could hear me for the remaining 11 minutes. So I know.
That was that one, wasn't it? Yeah. It's one of the reasons why I just did not want to do an online gig or a Zoom gig or anything. I just
pre-recorded is fine, but what I was doing wasn't working and it just overloaded and just couldn't see.
Ah. Were you trying to do one of your PowerPoint presentations online while also doing a video call?
Yes, but I've now worked out how to do an online PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, dear.
I can now do an entire show online.
Ooh. Ooh, exciting.
Coming soon to Twitch.
Yep.
Oh, well, that will be fucking brilliant. I'm looking. I may even have to find out what Twitch is, just so I can watch it. Is it like a TikTok?
Oh, God. You sound like a band.
Streaming platform.
I have no idea what a TikTok is.
People play games.
We were walking around the Broad last night. There were these four girls doing some kind of dance thing. And Rachel said, oh, I think they're doing a TikTok dance. And I'm like, who do what now? I have no idea what one of those is.
Is that a racist comment?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a thing.
No, TikTok is a thing.
Yeah, I think it's a thing, but I've got no idea what thing it is.
A lot of people were complaining when nurses had 5 minutes spare and they wanted to go and do something. And they would do the dances down the hospital wards. They're obviously not overloaded with patients because they have time to do that.
When you say a lot of people, you mean the Daily Mail, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing that, and I'm seeing an awful lot of people saying, "Did Daily Mail, fuck off."
The same people that thought it was about clapping Boris.
Oh, fuck that. I mean, honestly, he's been pictured today doing a press-up. As if anybody's going to look at that man and go, yeah, he does exercise.
I do like the fact that people have started saying, though, that does that mean he's going to start riding bare-chested on top of a horse like Putin? But you can't really compare the two. One push-up compared to
hunting a bear on horseback. Yeah, it's not quite the same thing.
I have to say, Warren, you made a pause at an appropriate moment there when you said people are starting to wonder, will he start riding?
Oh, yeah.
Has that kid turned up in stuff subsequently? Because that face is looking remarkably familiar.
The kid's voice turns up in about 2 episodes' time.
But no, that's not the face, is it? That face I've definitely seen. Because that's 2007, isn't it?
Yes.
So the kid would be.
Where the episode starts getting good.
the kid's Scottish, so the kid's probably dead now.
Fair point, yeah.
Yeah.
I still can't believe. It's almost as if no one listens to this, no one's ever complained about our blatant anti Scottish agenda.
I think it's because you get a token Scot in.
Well, we had to for the EU grant.
Well, they can't mean it. There's a Scottish person in the podcast.
Exactly.
A Scot, a trans, and a disabled. Jesus Christ.
We are coining it in, my friends. The money is just washing over us. There we go, Utopia. Can anyone remember the name of the kid? Was anyone paying enough attention to know what the child was called?
I don't think the child has a name.
I believe the child's name was Crete.
Okay.
Played by a very young John Bell, who went on to have a role in The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Oh, that's John Bell. Okay, I was looking this up earlier because I was trying to remember because the kid in the following episode that plays the young spoiler master died a couple of years ago, didn't he?
Oh, gosh, I feel really guilty now.
Do you?
Dying.
You sure?
Yeah, and I got confused earlier thinking I must have been looking at the wrong page or the wrong actor, but I thought that this time, then I saw the same information that you've just seen.
Ah, yeah. I only done 18 roles so far, and actually hasn't acted in anything since 2014.
Oh, okay.
Played a 20-year-old spud in Trainspotting 2. Oh, no, hasn't acted in anything since 2017.
17, yeah.
I've been Trainspotting 2.
Also plays Bane in the Hobbit films. I do have a massive problem with the film The Desolation of Smaug. Because at the end of the film, The Desolation of Smaug, Smaug is not desolated. Very undesolated dragon at the end of the film.
Is at the name of an area that's been destroyed by Smaug, though, isn't it?
What? Desolation?
Desolation.
As in Desolation Row?
No, I'm sure that it's named after an area as opposed to...
No, it's not. It's a weird Peter Jackson thing that it's called The Desolation of Smaug because it's supposed to be when they kill Smaug, but that doesn't happen until part three.
I'm going to have to do some research on this because I'm sure The Desolation of Smaug is an area that was desolated by Smaug.
Possibly, but I didn't. I never read it that way, and I'm sure as hell not going to go back and watch the damn thing again to find out.
Well, the thing that annoys me is more the last part's called The Battle of the Five Armies, the majority of which is based in one paragraph from The Hobbit.
Yep. Also, there aren't five armies.
Yeah.
Why is there a reboot key?
Well, why wouldn't there be?
Why is there a key on a keyboard simply for the function of reboot?
Well, because you know the old thing of switch it off and on again. You need a key for that.
Actually, bear in mind the entire thing looks like it was programmed on an Atari 2600.
Yeah.
This is the future, and you can begin to comprehend how technology will change in the future.
And that's also a future Amstrad keyboard.
The arrogance to believe that you would know what's happening at the end of the universe is just astounding.
The Earl Lord Sugar of Britain and Ireland, bits thereof, is now king of the country, and he makes all the computers with a reboot key and expects everybody to work when they're ill. It hasn't changed much from now, to be honest with you. Ooh, I'm liking the red. Did I mention Liverpool have won all the everything and they're all champions of everything?
I do really like the way that this episode's filmed. It's just quite dull for the first 20 minutes and then really picks up.
Yeah, it's almost as if they didn't really know what to do for the first half of it and then just went, oh, now it gets fun. Oh, God, that's not good acting. You don't need the hissing.
I'm going to take a guess that hissing was added in post-production.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Basically, someone's sitting at a monitor saying, needs more hiss.
Yeah.
Needs more.
I mean, surely you could have just put some, I don't know, some sound effects in like a bar lamb or something. It would have just made it more fun.
A little growl would be better. A
growl would have been really good. I'd have gone with that.
I love that, when you used to watch kind of classic Doctor Who or even just kind of episodes of Star Trek and stuff as well, and you had this really kind of rubbish view of what future technology was going to look like. We used to slide off, and now we're still making the exact same mistakes.
Yep.
Where you just kind of make something so ridiculous that you can kind of go, well, it may be right.
Are they mistakes? How do we know that someone hasn't come back from the future and went, it doesn't look like that, mate, trust me. No, it's not all silver and shiny. It just looks really slightly rotten and old. You know, if you design it exactly as you don't want it to look, that's how it's going to look. But you've got to bear in mind that Microsoft and Google are pretty much the forerunners of our technology now. They're leading the charge. And at some point, they're going to screw it up and it's going to look shit. And they're going to run out of bits, so they're going to be using old keyboards, old Atari screens. It's just not going to look good. Captain Jack died again. Oh, no, yep. He hasn't. Have we already established that he can't die?
I think we just established it there.
Ah, right.
Kind of established. Okay, so you've got the end of Series 1.
Yeah.
Where he comes back to life, then you pretty much got the whole of Torchwood.
Well, I was trying to take Torchwood out of the equation in that within
then you've got
this self-contained Jack universe.
I say you've got Jack surviving being on the outside of the TARDIS during through the time vortex. However, Clara does that in several series time.
That's true. Yeah, but she's the impossible girl, and she can do anything.
Don't explicitly say that he's come back to life at that bit there. I think it's just kind of implied. I can't remember because I've not been paying attention to my episode. But at that point, you know, because even Martha looks surprised at that point that Jack came back.
Yeah.
And the doctor just kind of goes, sort of thing. Because the reason the doctor doesn't, I don't know if it's been mentioned yet, the reason the doctor's not happy with Jack being around is because Jack's wrong, he says.
Yeah.
You know, because... And it's not because he keeps getting his penis out during the set of Torchwood. It doesn't mean he's a wrong un. He means
he's a barrowman. Something I don't know.
Is that just not the inherent Gallifreyan homophobia of which they are known?
John Barrowman apparently has a habit of just flashing other actors.
Allegedly. No, I think it's just... That just shows that as advanced as Gallifrey is, they haven't advanced in certain ways. So Jack is considered wrong.
He's a wrong one.
And he's can never hands. Die, but why does his body disintegrate and then reform like it does in Torchwood at this point, like it should do if we're going for the logic that the episode has already set?
Don't bring that up. It's not important. Shouldn't be mentioned.
Character just
not important, doesn't matter. I mean you could put the doctor in there and he could just continually regenerate until that had been done. I mean, surely he should have already disintegrated by now. It seems to be going on a long time.
The doctor, I think if you disintegrated the doctor, he'd be dead forever though. Because his regeneration isn't actually death, is it not? The body kind of trying to reject death. So if the doctor dies, he kind of dies.
Well, yeah, except...
That's kind of established at the end of series... start of series 6, isn't it?
Yeah. Although there is the possibility that he could just be stuck in a regeneration loop. So he continually dies and comes back. Which, you know, would give you about 6 hours of very, very, very emotional speeches.
Yeah. I don't want to go.
Pairs. Pairs again.
Pairs again.
Yeah, just take a box again. Of fruit in there with him. You do have to say, actually, Tennant is a very good actor on his own, if you know what I mean. I was thinking this when I was watching Staged recently.
Great.
Which is amazing. Both him and Sheen can really just hold the screen in their own bimbo. Yeah. Because, I mean, he's not acting to anyone at this point. He is just talking through a piece of glass.
Potentially to the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Well, yes. It's good to see he's getting work. I'd heard he's fallen on hard times.
He's acting to no one right now, or as we call him, John Barrowman.
Yay!
But I'm...
He's got his hand stuck down a hole again.
I sort of like Jack. And I tend to find that I always just end up slagging him off.
He's one of those characters who I think within the universe of Torchwood works perfectly. But always just felt a little too forced and shoehorned into the Doctor Who universe.
For the most part, other than Children of Earth, I prefer Jack in Doctor Who because the writing means that, and the time of day that it's broadcast and the audience means it has to be scaled back about who Jack is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Otherwise, Davis just went two over the top with him.
Yeah, a little bit.
I prefer Jack and Doctor Who.
I can see why you would say that, definitely. Oh, hello. That fob watch looks familiar.
Good job we only covered it a couple of episodes ago, isn't it? Because otherwise Martha wouldn't have a clue.
No. Thank you. I mean,
it could have come up in any one of the previous 400 odd stories, but no.
No, very fortuitously, just a couple of weeks ago. Well, they've done a very good job, actually, of if you retrofit the casting. Either they knew what they were doing and they got a kid who they thought would look like Derek Jacobi in a couple of hundred years' time. Or they knew they wanted Derek Jacobi and went, who's going to look like him? You know, Jack's back. And I love the way we're talking about Captain Jack, and my very own Captain Jack has walked in the room to hurl more abuse at me. Before he punches the dog. Leave the dog alone. Thank you. I can't afford the vet's bills right now.
Anyway, the reaction video kind of kicks in at this point.
Okay.
These two Irish girls have realised what's happening and they start hurling abuse at Martha. Martha! Martha! If you've done this, I'll fucking kill you!
Fantastic. How long a countdown did they want?
More important things, Doctor.
No, there's never more important things that are needless distraction in a time of tension to wind down the clock.
The picture they imprinted earlier on that whoever is on screen has their name on screen, but you don't see it until this point, isn't it?
Run that past me again.
Whoever is talking on that screen earlier with the reboot has their name down the bottom.
Yes.
It's a good job they don't show Yana.
Oh, yes.
Otherwise, you might guess what's coming up.
You might, mightn't you? I feel like we shouldn't talk at this point.
You should let the drama...
What was that sound there? I'm guessing they're somehow... That's not a set they built, so I'm guessing they're filming in a nuclear reactor somewhere. It just kind of looks like somewhere that would have an awful lot of green flashing lights and buttons.
Is it Ainley's voice they use at the end of this section?
Let's find it in a
minute. I think they use both Ainley's and Bottis, but...
Possibly.
What about poor Eric Roberts?
It's like he didn't exist.
He said, I just worked out an acronym.
Go on.
Here's the thing. Martha mentioned it's what the face of Bo said, right? And later on, they both seem really surprised when Jack says his comment about the face of Bo in a few episodes' time, despite the fact that Jack just heard her mention the face of Bo and never said, oh, the face of Bo! Da-da-da-da.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yeah, but it's Jack. He wasn't really listening.
Yeah, too busy looking for a mirror.
I'm sure at some point we're going to get the story of how John Barrowman beat you to a part for something and you've never forgiven him.
John can't do the American accent.
Yeah. Can't do the Scottish accent.
I'm glad you got there. I was even hoping for you. Oh.
I'm going to tell you right now, when this first broadcast, it was about the first time that I had YouTube as a thing and I had a proper Wi-Fi connection in the flat that I was living in.
Yep.
I think I watched this ending a dozen times. I think it's my favourite cliffhanger.
I do genuinely think
about series four
that you possibly have gone out and had more of a life during lockdown than you did in your formative years.
Yeah. I worked 70 hours a week and then I went home and I watched Doctor Who on repeat. Like one scene on repeat.
That sounds like a good use of your time. I mean, I can't really talk. I'm on my third Frasier run, fourth Frasier run of the year now.
Well, if you're going off the Channel 4s, yeah, then you are on your... Well, it started again at the end of January, so technically you're only really on your second.
Is it just a second? I thought, no, yeah, it must be the third by now.
10 and 11, because we... then it's February through to last week is the full run.
Yeah, because we just had my coffee with Niles just the other day.
So at the end of series one.
Yeah, so we're on the third run now this year.
Doesn't really, January doesn't count as a run.
Do you think not?
No.
Well, they kind of screwed around a little bit with the Christmas episodes, but then they picked it back up again.
Yeah, and they went stupid with the Christmas episodes, repeating the same one over and over again, which was Martin.
It's the fourth run because I recorded it before Christmas and stored a few,
and for some reason
didn't store. Oh, hand to hand. Good Night Seattle Part 1 and Part 2. I didn't save that, so I've now got that on there as well. I had them all on DVD, of course, but I now have them on my Skybox because I'm lazy and can't be asked going upstairs. I love the fact they were still using DVDs back then, or they're still using DVDs in the future.
You say that DVD is probably the longest lasting video format now.
Actually, it is, isn't it? And I would suggest the discs last longer than a CD does.
21 years.
Yeah. I'd imagine the Blu-ray will overtake it at some point, although the DVD still exists.
Yeah.
The Blu-ray hasn't supplanted it.
Blu-ray's been around for 14 years.
Yeah,
so.
But the fact that they're running parallels. The sales of DVD are still strong enough to keep the DVD on the market.
Yeah. So we're actually watching again, rather than comments.
Sorry, yeah, I just realised I actually got distracted by watching the programme. Sorry, my bad.
I think Derek Jacobi is...
And before it comes on, I'm assuming both of you are... Every time the wolf sound comes during this...
Yep. There's actually a spoiler on IMDb for this episode. In the cast list. And that is pure Derek Jacobi from Frasier. Doesn't this kind of do something weird to the timeline that means that the Master is actually part Doctor? I mean, we know he's a Time Lord, but he effectively becomes his own son or something.
What?
Well, because he got the energy from the Fob Watch, which was the Doctor's energy.
No, it wasn't.
It was the Master's energy.
He Fob Watched himself the same way the Doctor Fob Watched himself.
I wasn't paying attention to that bit.
Yeah. Basically, the Master hid from the Time War by Fob Watching himself. Pretty much. So he was engaged in the Time War and then said, screw this for a game of soldiers.
Sounds like a fair response.
Bob watched himself.
You know, at some point we're going to find out he didn't actually do that and we have the War Master.
We do have the War Master. There's a big finish audio. starring Derek Jacobi. I'm not even joking.
I didn't think you were. I'm sure they just spend their whole time just trawling the future for ideas and then just churning them out backwards.
he fought in the time war and then just buggered off.
That's fair.
Oh, I remember the forums when Sim did the bye-bye. That's not the master.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah. I imagine that probably upset a few people, didn't it?
That's not the master. The master's not a child.
Well,
I think he's brilliant in this episode.
Yeah.
Because he goes from being really kind of sweet-natured and lovable to just malevolent.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does do that very, very well.
I think so. And I think in the next one, not so much in the finale, but I do think in The Sound of Drums,
yeah,
which is next, that he does it very, very well.
I'm
twisting between effectively normal, or as normal as... I mean, without going into spoilers, because I'll probably forget by Wednesday when we actually cover this, which political party is Harold Saxon part of?
The red one. Arguably.
Was he not an independent candidate?
Well, yeah, technically, but he did kind of... There's a lot of red. That's what I'm saying.
It is just called the Saxon Party, isn't it?
Yeah, but... You can draw parallels between him and the war criminal Tony Blair. You could, I would suggest. And there's a lot of red folders and lots of general redness around that.
General Redness is his top army advisor.
Okay, very, very quickly, before we go back into this, the spoiler I mentioned in IMDb, I don't know how they've come to that conclusion. I'm guessing we talked over it. Billy is credited as being Rose Tyler in this episode. So there must be a voice in the background somewhere. Well, she's
no,
brackets.
No, she appeared.
How did I miss that?
She appeared when the part that I was referring to earlier on, when Martha picks up the hand.
Ah, yes. I was looking at you then.
To that, there is a discussion between Jack and the Doctor. And the mention about Jack coming back to life.
Yeah. And that's where it is, yes.
The time vortex, and yeah, that's where Rose appears.
Because she's uncredited in brackets, which is true. I looked at the credit list. So now we've got the two-part to go.
Yeah.
And this is our first dalliance with the new master, isn't it?
It is.
Who I think is possibly my favourite master.
Right, okay.
I think.
At this point, yes.
Yes.
I really love this iteration of the Master. I really love it. I do not like the Master in The End of Time, but I love the Master in The Doctor Falls.
Yeah.
So John Sim playing the Master in these three episodes is totally...
Is that The Sound of Drums?
That's The Sound of Drums.
It was only three. It's fine.
Oh, it's fine.
It's totally separate in my eyes from what comes up in the next series.
Okay. Because
I love this version. I love the way that John Sim can switch from the childlike simplicity.
Yes.
Onto.
I think you're right.
Sorry. My son's running about behind me.
Ah, right, okay.
Tell me, go to the toilet. We don't need this in the podcast. Deleted scenes. My son's going to the toilet.
Talking of The Sound of Drums, this has been something that's been troubling me for some years now. Is if I want to tell my cat that the food is in his bowl on the side, I tap the work surface in front of his food bowl four times to the rhythmic pattern.
Oh,
I do it all the time.
He responds very quickly. Yeah, and he knows what it means, and he responds. He's already heard you doing that. And I'm like, I'm just concerned that the master is still around and he's now a small black cat.
Oh, dear.
it was a snake in the movie. So you know,
that's true.
Be a cat. And was he not part cat in Survival?
Yes, he was.
So can I ask, Laura, what is it about Sim and the End of Time that you don't like?
Sim in the End of Time. It's the way that the character's written. It's the whole hungry, blah, blah, blah. The Master is just written as a super-powered being who...
Well, he's kind of burning out, though. So I always thought there was a sense of kind of desperation in his actions.
I kind of agree.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Laura on this one, that it always felt a little bit too mad, too manic, and as you said, poorly written and poorly conceived.
What one thing I will say is that you're led to believe that the Master is the main antagonist at the End of Time, and it is just to pull the wool over your eyes, really.
Oh, that's just spoiler-tastic.
Well, yeah, no. I totally agree with that. However, the Master is the focus of pretty much the first half of it and the first half of the second part.
Yeah.
So the fact that we'll come to it later on, the fact that the Time Lords come into it sporadically throughout the second episode, the second part of The End of Time, they're only really there for the last 10 minutes. So the focus is all on John Sim's Master. And the issue I think I have is with the first half and that version of the Master. The second is pretty much played for laughs with the different versions of John Sim playing every single character, playing the president, playing all the audience, playing those generals. And I think that's done reasonably well.
He gets his mojo back then. He's more like the Master that you see in this two-parter, I think, when he does that.
Yeah. More of the excitable, but addictive Master, yeah.
The End of Time's got this kind of... It's clearly about death, The End of Time, and you've got it both from the Master and the kind of melancholy Doctor who almost kind of seems to know that he's nearly kind of... His time's nearly kind of run out. And then it's called The End of Time, and you've got, like, the fact that if certain things happen, it's going to just, you know, it's kind of, to me, it's almost kind of, like, I remember watching Logopolis and feeling that it just had a sense of impending doom kind of saturated throughout it.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
And that I always felt like the kind of, the more kind of, the Master was, like, desperate to, you know, he wasn't his usual kind of, cookie self kicking a bit to the Scissor Sisters. He was basically burning out.
Yeah.
The performance that he gave was fitting to that more so. Everybody's a lot more somber in The End of Time. You know, the master's
not somber though. He's just a super
power. He's burning out. He's somber in that he's not who he was. He's almost like a beast. He's just kind of, he's not doing that. The only glimpse you see of him as the kind of Master is when you see him kind of glowing at the beginning of the prison scene. And when you see him at the end kind of duplicating himself. You know, it's like everything else, it's like desperation, and he's not.
Even in that prison scene, though, where he appears in the fire and he's just repeating the same stuff over and over, it just feels like filler.
Oh, I had two episodes. The End of Time's quite ridiculous in a lot of respects, but I don't think... I don't think John Sim's terrible in it.
No,
Like I said, I do agree with Laura.
In our time, we're probably about a month away from the End of Time.
Yeah.
It's already senses.
Now, a month before we hit it, saying, I think it's fucking awful.
Well, you put it on the list, love.
So we'll see. How can you not? Well, it's the end of Tenant. You asked the important episodes. It's the end of Tenant, so.
Yeah, fair play. I did ask for all the important episodes, which is why the one we're doing in about a week's time is key to the entire Doctor Who universe.
Do you remember? We'll probably talk more about it. Do you imagine? But Kylie Minogue's character in Boyd of the Damned was Astrid, and everyone was going on in the forums for months and months in the run up to going, it's an anagram of TARDIS.
Yep.
She's a TARDIS.
She's a TARDIS.
I think it was just they couldn't think of what else to call her. Anyway, right then, chaps. That was Utopia, or A Poor Man's Doomsday. Or Derek Jacobi Returns from Seattle.
Or just watch the last 5 minutes and it's fantastic.
Yes, that's the best way to go. Just don't worry about the rest of it. Just opening credits with Jack clinging onto a TARDIS, the last 5 minutes, and you get the whole idea. You don't need the bit in the middle. We will be back in the middle of the week when we're possibly doing the two-parter. I'm waiting for the official judgment from the person in the corner of the room.
The two-parter featuring Teletubbies.
The Teletubbies two-parter.
Yeah.
Teletubbies two-parter.
Possibly Wednesday.
With no Scissor Sisters.
All right. Yeah. Yep, so that'll be the Teletubbies two-parter on Wednesday. Hang on.
No. I think the Scissor Sisters are on iPlayer. They are not on Netflix, if I remember right.
They're not in the DVD release.
Where do the Scissor Sisters come from?
At the start of the episode after this, there is a scene where Sims Master dances around whatever the aircraft is called, Valiant. Scissor song.
I feel like dancing.
I can't decide.
Oh, okay.
Which is actually a really, really good song, if lyrically at least.
The early Scissor Sisters stuff was really good.
It came out on the original broadcast, and since then, as John says, which I did not know wasn't on the DVD release, I'm sure that it is now on iPlayer because I went to check a few weeks ago. But it's not on there.
So someone somewhere decided they didn't want that license to cross other platforms?
Yeah, basically.
Jake Shears being a precious little baby. Who knows?
There's a lot of things that have to change, potentially change soundtracks between even cinema releases and DVD.
Well, in that case, we shall have something new to talk about on Wednesday. As we all do our best impression of Jake Shears.
Neither of you check to see if it comes on, so me and John can go, oh, it's on, and Khan can just go,
what?
Oh, it's that song.
Which would both be like, look, we're having this conversation now, and in theory, I should go and do my research the minute we finish talking and check whether it's there or not. Well, we both know that's not going to happen.
What would be wonderful would be if they couldn't secure the rights to the song Voodoo Child. For the end of the Sound of Drums, you'd have been just like, I feel like it had completely lost its oomph.
Just silence bounding through. Brilliant. Anyway, right. I think that we've gone on far too long already, and it's been absolutely fantastic. We have once again gone through another Doctor Who episode that has been Utopia. Make of that what you will. General consensus is you can miss the 40 minutes in the middle and you won't miss much. Over there in her no longer wearing a hat is Morgan.
Bye-bye.
She never said hi again.
Still doesn't quite remember when to say goodbye. Next to her has been John.
Goodbye.
And joined by the lovely, lovely fluffy ears. Oh, I've forgotten her name already. Harriet.
Harriet,
I didn't forget. The lovely beheaded Laura.
Ta-ra.
And that has been the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast. We will see you again in a few days. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Bye.